And good morning. Thank you, JP, for the kind introduction. I'm looking in the book of the old, or I'm looking in the Old Testament, in the Bible, the book of Exodus. In chapter 39, there is the most intricate description of what the high priest would wear when he's involved in ministry for the children of Israel, in offering sacrifice and entering the tabernacle. Everything's designed for worship. I'm going to read the first verse from Exodus chapter 39. Of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So obviously these are all instructions from God. I'm going to skip over to verse number 24. That's still Exodus chapter 39, in case you want to look it up. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet. Isn't that interesting? The colors of the pomegranates that they sewed into the hem were blue and purple and scarlet. And they were made of fine woven linen. Now see, anyone that understands how to sew and to make a hem, they know what this means. Verse 25. And they made bells of pure gold. Wow. And they put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe, all around between the pomegranates. Verse 26. A bell and a pomegranate all around the hem of the robe to minister, as the Lord had commanded Moses. You know, I remember as a boy, I had an aunt. I think it was my Aunt Lola and Uncle Jeff that eventually, essentially raised my mother. I think her mother passed away when she was fairly young. And I don't know the whole story, but she kind of ended up there with Aunt Lola. And Lola raised her, but I remember every time that my mother would take us over to visit her Aunt Lola and Aunt Vernie. Vernie was her sister. I think when I was probably 7 years old, I was almost as tall as Vernie at that point. But they had this gigantic, at least it seemed to me, pomegranate tree in their front yard. And oh my word, you talk about loaded with fruit. It was just incredible. Well, this morning I did a literature search. And of course, it's not comprehensive. I mean, just the amount of information is overwhelming. You just have to kind of pick and choose what you're looking at. But the first series of articles that came up were all the harmful effects of pomegranate. I thought to myself, well, you know what? I think I'm balanced. I'm not so biased that I can only look for good without looking for maybe potential bad or negative effects of consuming the pomegranate. So I said to myself, should I read it? And I go, yeah, you should read it. And they talked about how dangerous it was to consume pomegranates or pomegranate juice or pomegranate powder, or to, you know, actually go to the grocery store and buy a pomegranate. I said, well, I've got to see what they're saying about this. And I didn't copy it off, but I can just tell you what it said basically. It said, if you're taking a cholesterol-lowering drug, consuming pomegranates may interfere with how your liver detoxifies the pomegranate. So I thought to myself, I mean, how it detoxifies the drug. And which I don't want to really go into that topic too deep, but every time that you take a drug of any kind, whether it's an over-the-counter medication like Tylenol or Benadryl or aspirin, or it's a prescription drug like Zocor or Simvastatin or Vytorin, something that lowers cholesterol. Well, the moment you put a drug in your body, your liver, it goes to work literally at trying to detoxify it. It's like I asked the man the other day, what would happen to you if you felt perfectly fine, you were healthy in every way, you had no issues, you really liked the way you feel, and all of a sudden you started taking these prescription drugs? Well, number one, you'd get sick. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You would have negative effects from taking a drug that you, quote, had no business taking. But anyway, your liver works to detoxify that. And so what I thought was, you know what? What we should do is we need to reframe this. Instead of being all negative and down on pomegranates, maybe we should say is, What are the beneficial properties of the pomegranate that enables the liver to do a much better job at removing toxins? Because, folks, let's face it, if you're living on Earth, you're going to encounter toxins on more levels than you can shake a stick at. It's not just the food that you're eating. That's a big one. It's not just the air that you're breathing. That's the pretty big one, too. But you're in contact with all these millions of I'm using millions as a figure of speech. I really don't have a number. I can say tens of thousands probably pretty accurately. But there's all these man-made chemicals that man, as long as he's been walking the earth, hasn't been in contact with these things. And so if the first warning was, be careful if you're taking a cholesterol-lowering drug because pomegranate may affect how your body detoxifies it, well, maybe there's something about pomegranate that might actually be good that helps your liver do its job better. Okay? The other article was almost, it was not comical, I'm not laughing at it, but they're saying you've got to be so careful if you have elevated blood pressure and you start taking pomegranate. And I said, okay, what are they going to say about this? And they said it'll make your blood pressure go too low. Well, don't you think that's just the way they're phrasing and wording it? So what they're doing is they're telling you if you're taking four blood pressure medications, you're taking Losartan, you're taking hydrochlorothiazide, you're taking Norvasc, you're taking all these drugs. And they're telling you if you're taking those drugs and you consume pomegranate, all of a sudden your blood pressure may go too low. Well, can't I just turn that around and say, maybe what's happening is the pomegranate is doing such a great job at improving your blood flow and your circulation and your oxygen delivery that your arteries actually are becoming healthier because of it. And, you know, one of the aspects of blood pressure is the arteries just become too stiff and they become too hard. It's almost like they're becoming rigid. You don't want that. You want your arteries being supple and pliable and flexible and bendable. You don't want them to be rigid and hard and stiff. No. So when I read that, I thought, well, shouldn't they just tell a person, you need to be aware that if you start consuming pomegranate powder or eating pomegranates or taking the juice, that if your blood pressure becomes lower, maybe what that really means is that your body's healing and you no longer require the prescription drug like you did before. And I'm not telling you to stop. I'm not telling you what to do here. But you need to be aware of what potentially could happen. I did type in, where do the best pomegranates from around the world come from? You know what they said? They said Iran. It also said there's a region in India that's very famous for growing really, really good high-quality pomegranates. But they also said Russia. But you know where they said the best ones came from? And, of course, it's just the author of the article. They came from Afghanistan. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. Question. Is there a test or is there a way that you can figure if you have low T without going, without getting blood work?
I don't think there really is. Okay. I think that's the most accurate way.
Okay.
So they can actually do a blood test. That way the laboratory can specifically measure free testosterone.
Just curious. Just have a lot of low energy, basically no energy, always tired.
Well, you have to be able to deliver oxygen to the mitochondria to have energy.
Okay.
Okay, so this is only an example.
Right.
If you took a young child that was 6 years of age and they did a test to measure their blood flow and their circulation and their oxygen, you'd probably say, now I know why they have so much energy, because their blood flow is literally perfect. They can deliver oxygen without effort through the capillary bed or through the microvascular circulation. And so if you have no energy, this is a very serious thing, because what they would call low T, you can do that, but what you need is you got to get oxygen and nutrition to all the cells of the body.
Right.
If you can transfer oxygen from the arterial system into what's called the mitochondria, along with fuel, then guess what you have? You have the production of energy right there.
Okay.
So when the blood tends to become very thick, and I'll just kind of give you some numbers right here. There is a simple blood test that probably every doctor, male, female, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, nurse, when they order this test, it's called a CBC, that stands for complete blood count. And one of the markers you're looking at is called HCT, that's called hematocrit.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually when that number for a man is between 40 and 42, he has really good potential to have great blood flow. Now, that's one of the reasons why when they've looked at studies on heart attacks and the sudden use of testosterone therapy, it's really hard to overlook that. Because when a person takes testosterone therapy, you're putting yourself at very, very high risk of having a heart attack. I think the numbers say within 3 months of taking testosterone as a therapy, the risk of heart attack doubles in 3 months. Well, that's not a good number. But what happens is usually when you take testosterone, the blood starts to become pretty, pretty thick. As a matter of fact, there was a local news radio personality in Tyler. He was the spokesperson for the Low T Center, and he had a heart attack at age like early 50s, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, so when hematocrit goes from 42 to the number 46, what you do is you incrementally increase the risk of having a heart attack. Now, in saying that, I'm not trying to be all scary here this morning. I'm just trying to give information so we can try to get to the root cause of the problem. The issue is, you're not getting enough oxygen to the heart. And so that's what a heart attack is. It's basically a big honking muscle spasm or Charlie horse of the heart because it's being deprived adequate oxygen. Everything in the body begins to contract and seize up when you have low oxygen. And so if you did a blood test, if your hematocrit is around 46 and above, that's getting to be the danger area.
Okay.
And so you're not able to deliver oxygen. And so one of the solutions is donating blood.
Okay. Well, I used to do, not donating blood, but do the...
No, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about actually donating blood, not plasma,
right.
not
okay.
any other component of the blood.
Yeah.
No, and I don't want you to really donate plasma. I want you to donate blood.
Okay.
Right. And so the other thing is you got to start looking at what is the cause of the fatigue you have. And it could be everything from, and I'm just going to throw some stuff out here. So
it could
just
be depression too.
Well, the thing of it is, if you are feeling blue and down and depressed, there is a strong component that blood flow is huge with that. And let me give you an idea.
Okay.
We don't really see this so much anymore because of fortified foods, but there used to be a condition called pellagra. And it was literally a severe deficiency of what's called vitamin B3. So if you want to call it niacin or nicotinamide or niacinamide, I'm all for that. Niacin, I'm actually, see, when somebody's really, really low in B3, you give them a little bit of niacin and they get this flush like, oh my goodness, why do I feel like I'm having a hot flash right now? Well, it's because you weren't used to having blood flow and all of a sudden you got some. So it's flushing everything out. And so when a person is low in vitamin B3, niacinamide, I mean, they are so prone to depression. They just feel so blah. And part of the issue is you're just not getting enough oxygen to the brain cells. And so there's just like a cascade effect. Everything affects everything else. But if you have low blood flow through the body and low oxygen, every system in your body, from the lining of the gut to the pancreas to the liver to the adrenal glands, to all the glands that produce hormones like the thyroid, they all suffer.
Right.
And so we need to come up with a solution. What would really help is if we could figure out why you have low energy, because it really, that's your only key to stay alive. You've got to have energy just to make any and all repairs to the body. So what I always think of is if a person goes to sleep at night, and they wake up and they go, oh my word, that was like an amazing sleep. I feel so good. I have a bright outlook. That would be a pretty good clue that you're getting enough oxygen to your brain at night. Now, if a person wakes up and they go, give me 2 hours without anybody talking to me and 20 cups of coffee before I can go to work, not good.
Yeah, well, I'm not that. That's
okay.
Really not it.
Good.
But I'm not also... I'm not foggy. I'm trying to think. I get up, but I'm just still kind of like, gee, I really don't want to get up. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, would you say honestly that you have deep, refreshing, restorative sleep?
Probably not.
Okay, well then we have a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can at least just come to terms with, okay, maybe. And the thing of it is, I'm saying this in reverse now. Sometimes okay. People make the comment to me. They say, "Dr. Morgan, my sleep is perfect. I sleep so hard and fabulous." And then maybe 3 weeks later or a month later, they'll say, "You remember that comment I made to you, Dr. Morgan, about the quality sleep that I had?" I go, "Yeah, I remember that." They go, "Well, now under these circumstances, I probably wasn't really qualified to make that comment because now I do feel amazing and I can tell a huge difference." And some of that is going to be by having much better blood flow to the brain.
Right.
And mind.
Right.
In my dream world, there would be a hyperbaric oxygen chamber on every corner.
Right.
And you could just say, "I'd like to go through the drive-through and spend 1 hour in chamber number one." And you could just go in there and read a book and relax and, you know, do a Bible study. And all of a sudden you come out an hour later and go, "Oh, is this what it feels like to have adequate oxygen to all the cells in my body? I think I like it."
Right, right.
And so there are issues, and what I'm going to recommend is you better go to a doctor, and you better get to somebody that can help figure this out. You don't need to delay, because this is not going to end up well.
Right. Okay.
All right. Hope
There's
that helps.
Nothing, is there anything that I can take in the meantime?
Well,
I'm listening to you talk about pomegranate and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great option that you have.
Okay.
But let's just go backwards for a second.
Okay.
Do you know what your latest blood work says?
No, I don't.
Okay, go back to your last blood work that you remember. How long ago did you have your blood tests?
There was before Christmas.
Okay, do you remember anything about it? Like, was there anything high or low?
I don't remember.
Well, I'm going to make a guess here. I'm going to say that most likely your hemoglobin was significantly elevated. And what that means is you're holding a lot of rusty iron in your blood.
Right.
And so what you can do is you can go to the doctor and you can say, "Please do a ferritin test." And usually in men, when their ferritin levels are above 90, so let's just say you go, and most likely your ferritin is going to end up somewhere around 350 to 400.
Right.
The problem with iron in men is this. Iron takes on this highly magnetized quality. Now, if you're running an automobile salvage yard and you have this crane with a big magnet on the end of it,
right,
that's fine if all you're going to do is pick up a junk car and move it from one location to the next. But with a man, when you start getting a buildup of ferritin in the blood, it acts like a magnet and it starts attracting toxic waste and debris that it just holds. And so the blood becomes dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, and that's what you're dealing with.
Okay.
And so when I said earlier to go and donate some blood, I wasn't talking about donating plasma.
Right.
I was talking about donating blood, because that will actually move the needle in a good, productive way. If you don't do that, then the circumstances are you're gonna deprive one organ system of enough oxygen one day that you're going to have a catastrophic event. I don't want that to happen.
I don't either.
And so what we have to do is we have to move the needle forward in such a way that you're going to restore your health.
Right. Well, I just found the blood tests. Homocysteine.
Yeah. What's homocysteine say?
Oh, they didn't do that one.
Okay.
They got BMI is bad.
Well, I'm not. Sure. That's not really a lab test. That's just a measurement.
Right.
They take your weight and height.
All they did was HDL, LDL, triglycerides.
Well, what were the triglycerides?
91.
Okay. You mean they didn't do a hematocrit or a hemoglobin or red blood cell count?
No, I'm trying to see if what they did with that.
Well, sometimes my mind is really good at remembering specific numbers. And
right.
I'm thinking in your situation. So what we want to do is we want to get the blood really, really clean. So do you have a habit of walking every day?
No, but I can get into it.
Okay. do you have a habit of drinking water before you're thirsty?
I drink, try to drink water all the time.
Okay, good.
I keep it at my desk, so I'm always drinking water.
Okay, do you like to eat green salads?
Not particularly.
Well, how often do you have one?
Seldom.
Would the definition of seldom be once a day?
Not even close.
Okay, well, if you ate one green salad a day, here's what's going to happen. I know I'm switching gears here, but there's a mineral or an element found in nature that acts as an electrolyte.
Mm-hmm.
Generates electricity. The last time I checked, every cell in your body is a solar-charged battery that produces energy for you. And potassium is one of the gatekeepers on that. But the reason why I'm saying potassium is because usually, but what potassium does is it increases the velocity and the speed of blood flow. And the faster your blood moves through your arteries, the cleaner it is.
Right.
And so if you would start eating a green salad a day, just put like Italian meatballs in there to make it taste better, right?
Sounds good.
There you go. Surely we can find something where you can doctor it up and make it taste great.
Hey,
but
I'm,
you would get
I'm
five
with chicken in it.
There, hey, I'll take it. And well, what I'm going to recommend is one entire whole rotisserie chicken per salad.
Wow.
Is that too much?
Wow, that's a lot of chicken.
Okay, I may have exaggerated slightly. You could just
that's a lot of chicken.
How about a drumstick, a wing, and a thigh?
Sounds good to me.
Maybe that's a more manageable level.
There you go.
But I would say if you have no energy, there's got to be some markers on your lab test that would help point you in the right direction. But you're going to be the sum total of all the behaviors and the consistent things you do. So you may need to just skip breakfast. And, of course, I usually wait until they broach the topic, and sometimes I don't. But usually I wait for the person to say, hey, Dr. Morgan, I finally have discovered the secret of reversing diabetes and fixing my heart. And I'm going, really? What is it? And then they say, it's called intermittent fasting. I'm going, really? Tell me more. How does that thing work? And they said, well, I started skipping breakfast, and all of a sudden now I'm off all my diabetes medications. I'm going, man, it's amazing. But you know what? I can tell you what I like about that. When a person participates in their own health and healing, man, that's golden right there.
Right.
There's no pill on earth that can make a person motivated. I wish there was, or I'd give it to maybe one or two people. But if you started skipping breakfast consistently, what you're doing is you're telling your body, I'm not going to feed you anything. And your body says, oh, great. What are we going to do? Well, your body's going to start eating you. And that means it's going to start eating and removing any fat or debris or toxins that don't belong that are stored in your body. And this is one of the ways that you help clean your blood. So if you start drinking pomegranate juice every day, as one example, that would definitely be a move in the right direction, even though it does have some carbohydrates and some sugar in it. It's not really the same as like high fructose corn syrup that you would get in a soft drink. Does that make sense?
Right. Can you get the pomegranate juice from the big box store?
I'm almost positive, yes.
You know what I'm saying, is that okay to get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, though, they have the juice back in the refrigerated section.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, if you go to the big box store, it's right near the bratwurst and the Italian sausage and the Italian meatballs. I don't know why it's doing there.
All my favorites.
Well, and I think the manager of Walmart said, you know what? I just read the study about it helping unclog arteries, so I'm going to put it right by the bratwurst and the meatballs to help these guys out.
There you go.
I really didn't ask him that, but I can make an assumption. I mean,
it sounds good. Well, they did a titers test, and I got the results back. Well, it turns out they had my name, and everything else was somebody else's information, so I can't even give you that information.
Well, no, you can't, but that's not your fault. That's just an error from the laboratory or the office.
Right, so.
But it wouldn't hurt to call and say, can I actually have my information and not Mr. Jones's information?
I did that, actually, and so I'm waiting for that information to come back.
Well, what I would do is I would encourage you to take these steps, and if you don't do anything else but decide you're going to go walking twice a day. I've had so many people to experiment on. I mean, you don't know this, but everybody that walks in my door is my actual guinea pig. I get to experiment on everybody like a mad scientist. They just don't know if they're getting Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde.
Right.
Anyway, scratch that part of the topic. But I've seen people fail over and over, and I said, okay, are we going to do it this way now? And I almost have to wait sometimes until a person becomes desperate or they find the motivation. But if you walked morning and evening, I think what you're doing is, number one, you're greatly increasing blood flow by doing that.
Right.
And there's so many good things that happen when you move your body more. I think, you know what they're calling the new pack of cigarettes now? They're calling sitting down is the new cigarette. Just because it's so damaging the blood flow. So,
right. And like, I do that all day.
Well, you kind of have a job that requires you to sit, right?
I do.
Can you drive without sitting?
A little difficult.
That means that implies that you've tried that.
Like next to impossible.
Actually. Oh, okay. All right. So all these things are good right here, but what I'm going to encourage you to do, please go to a doctor and let them check all the systems of your body. What I would do is I'd have them check your liver very thoroughly. So one of the issues is if you're exhausted and you have a fatty liver, well, those two things go hand in hand, so we might want to work on trying to improve the liver health. So if you practice the technique called intermittent fasting, sometimes it's called autophagy. It goes by other names too. You're making it easy for your body to heal itself.
Right.
And I think that since you're a child of God, you're worthy of being healed.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
I hope that helps.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have
and
a good day.
Have a good day.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Bye. Okay. Back to pomegranates just for a second. I tried to look at ones that were like not too wordy. Here's one right here. Here's a study. Let's go to the phone lines instead. That's so much more important. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. This is your Pasadena friend.
Pasadena friend?
Yes, sir. We rode our bicycles in the mosquito foggers in Pasadena.
Oh, that's right. Now I understand that. You know the mosquitoes there in Pasadena are so big they could carry a full-grown man off and eat him.
Oh, well, in Alaska we call them our state bird.
I've seen videos of hunters up in Alaska, and those mosquitoes are a whole different animal than what we have down here.
Yeah, they've got two crops, and that first crop's not too bad. The second crop, oh, miserable.
What do the animals do? What does a moose or a bear do? Do they just endure the pain and suffering of mosquitoes?
When I lived there and I had a dog team, there was a product I would buy called Buick. Well, they quit making it. You couldn't get it anymore. But
well, Buick is the name of a car.
Right.
No, I'm joking.
This is called Buick, and it was like a powder made out of some kind of a flowers. And I would rub those on my dogs, but they would just take their muzzle and stick it down in the dirt, you know, trying to get away from those mosquitoes. They were just fierce.
Is that where the mosquitoes would attack the muzzle?
Yeah.
Oh, bless their heart.
But, I have just had a question because I heard you talking about the priest and the pomegranate.
Yeah, from the book of Exodus, chapter 39.
I'm going to do something today I've never done before. I'm going to go out and sing at Celtic fest is?
No, I don't. But is that where you're heading today?
Yeah, they sing like Irish songs and stuff like that. Over.
Are you going to be wearing a kilt?
I am.
Okay. Do you believe in shaving your legs? Never mind.
Well, the reason I was calling is, why did the priest put the pomegranates in their garments, in their robes?
Well, the answer is, as the Lord instructed Moses. So that was God's command to put the golden bells and the pomegranates into the hem of the garments and the belt of the high priest. I don't know why. I can tell you why I looked it up. I looked it up about a month ago. Can I tell you what I found out?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
And I have no way of proving this, so just take it all with a grain of salt. They said that in the Torah, you know, the system of Jewish laws and rules and commands.
Yeah, I believe the sheep are so far, I sure do.
Okay, well, supposedly there's exactly 617 laws.
Wow.
Guess how many seeds are in a pomegranate?
6'17"?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to go buy a full adult mature pomegranate today, and that's your job before you go to the Celtic Festival and sing. You're going to count them out.
I've got a question as to why the therapeutic was that, why that was therapeutic. Because, Dr. Morgan, I've had allergies all my life, hives. I've had real severe hives. But now I've got on my upper thighs above my knees, I'm getting like severe heat rashes. Mm-hmm. And I rub aloe vera on it. It works pretty good, but I hadn't got any kind of medicine. I'm trying to figure out what's causing this. Have any idea?
Well, I'm going to go internal.
Okay.
So I realize I could be missing the boat on this. Maybe you're rubbing used motor oil and WD-40 on the top of your thighs, and I didn't think of asking that. But that would. But I always think when it's on the top, above the knees, on the top of the thighs, I always think about the lower gastrointestinal tract as being where the problem is.
Okay.
So, and I realize I say that, and you're going, well, I'm perfect. I have no health problems. I can't understand it. But if you're, so let me say it this way. Your liver plays one of the most amazing roles of any organ system in the body. And one of the things it's supposed to do is it keeps your skin, even the skin over your thighs, under constant surveillance 24 hours a day. Uh-huh. And so it's constantly measuring and tasting and reading what's going on the surface of the skin. But your body is not designed to have an allergic response that continues and doesn't go away. Now, I had a man send me a picture this week of he was stung by a beehive 45 feet up in a tree that he was climbing.
Ooh, God.
And he had easily over 100 stings, and I'm thinking, well, now I know why his skin is red and swollen and inflamed. He sent me a text. He said, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, is climbing down the tree.
I guess so.
While he said it was the most physically demanding action of his entire life, trying to get down the tree while he's being stung. But the stings were... What now?
I said he could have passed that easy in the heat doing that.
You ain't kidding. You talk about a tough dude. Nobody can ever question him. But that would make sense. But if you've got something on your thighs, then one of the systems that I'd look at is I'd look at your liver. Now, the other system that I'm going to look at, there is a gland that's found just under your breastbone. It's got two long lobes, I don't know, about 4 or 5 inches long. It's called the thymus gland.
I've heard you talk about this.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing it up is I can't even tell you how many people I've seen with rashes for years that would never respond, never go away, but once you give them some thymus extract, all of a sudden they magically heal. It's almost like we're giving the body what it needs so it can do its job at preventing an allergic response.
Okay.
And maybe the third area that I would really look at, that's what I began with, is the gut. And so much of the health of a human being, and so what I'm about to tell you is a little bit gross, but I want you just to cut me some slack here. I'm not trying to be a weirdo this morning, but one of my patients sent me an article that was just published in May, you know, this year, 2022. Mm-hmm. And they've already done studies on fruit flies, and what they do with the fruit fly is they take the poop or the feces of a young fruit fly and they put it in an old, aged fruit fly that's about to die. And all of a sudden, the old fly rejuvenates. And they've done that with worms also. Young worms versus old worms. They take young worm, earthworm castings, and they implant it like a fecal transfer into the old fuddy-duddy worm. And they become young again. They've done that with fish. Well, this is the first time they've done it with well, not the first time, but it's one of the unique experience. So here's how they did this. They took mice that were 3 months old. That means basically they were like young teenagers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they would take some of the feces and collect it, and they would mix it with food and feed it to super, super old mice that were like beyond 24 months of age, which if you're a mouse and you're 24 months old, you're old, right?
I guess so.
And what they would do is they would notice, oh my goodness, we're seeing macular degeneration, retinopathies, dementia, Alzheimer's, amyloid plaque, circulation, kidney and liver issues. All that's going away if we can feed the old mice young mouse poop. And so in reading that, they did it the whole thing in reverse. They took old mice, took their poop, and they fed it to young mice, and the young mice became old. Anyway, my point is this right here. Inside of your body, you have what's called your flora, or you want to call them the good, friendly bacteria that colonize your gut. Sometimes the term they use is called microbiome or microbiota. Have you heard that term before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so they're showing that as a person lives on Earth, there's this downward... So I guess the point that I'm thinking of is whatever we can do to improve the health of your gut, that's one of the best things that you can do today. So if that means you start drinking 2 to 3 cups of green tea a day and you take some pomegranate juice and stir it in your green tea and you have dark chocolate that's 85% cacao and you start falling in love with onions and garlic, if we could just feed your sled team dogs onions and garlic, that would help with the...
Yeah, it's amazing.
You could track them through the woods with your nose only, right?
Right.
No, but so those are the three areas that I would look at right there. And so your body's telling us a story. It's just a matter of how do we figure out which one it is. Now, if you were here in front of me, that would be different. Then I could do my job. But since you're on the radio, I'm just trying to give you ideas so I can nudge you in the right direction.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to try. For years, I'm sipping on it right now. I'm drinking my lemon water every morning. I've been doing that for years because you suggested it. And I walk every day, most every day, because you suggested it. And I gave blood a month ago because you suggested it.
Did the rash get better after you donated your blood?
Can't really say it did.
Okay. Have you ever taken a washcloth with just apple cider vinegar on it and just wiped your skin down?
No, but I just thought of that the other day because I've heard you talk about it before.
You might try that and then follow up with castor oil on that rash and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll just try that.
I mean, does the rash look like it's prickly heat?
That's what it looks like to me, and it comes and goes, and for some reason, overnight as I sleep, it dissipates.
Well, then let's do the apple cider vinegar on a washcloth. Just scratch everything I said about the kidneys and the liver and blood flow and the gut and the thymus. Just scratch all that. Just try the apple cider vinegar and the castor oil and see if that doesn't help it heal quite a bit.
I will sure do that because in this heat, you know, standing out there singing and playing on stage, I was thinking, oh, golly, open.
Now, are you dancing also? I'm just curious.
No, I just play cowboy ballads.
Oh.
Harmonica.
Do you have your harmonica handy right now?
I've got 6 or 8 of them, and I don't even see one around me right now.
Well, this is not playing well into what I want. I want you to play a little ditty for me on the radio.
I will do it next time.
Okay, that's a deal. Well, I hope you have a great day, but try just a washcloth and wiping it down gently with apple cider vinegar and then covering with castor oil. And see if that helps improve the acid mantle layer of the skin, improves the integrity of the skin. But let me say one more thing. All the cover, you've got inner coverings and you've got outer coverings. We'll just say your skin, that's your outer covering. Now, to me, you need enough vitamin A to get the job done.
Vitamin A.
Do you ever eat calf liver at all?
Yes, because of the way you said it. You know, I do that on a regular basis. I mean, not maybe it's not calf, but it's at the restaurant.
Now, do you remember when you used to mine for gold in Alaska?
Yes, I do.
I just read a study the other day that said if a man has a rash that resembles prickly heat, he's allergic to gold nuggets. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do you a favor. Okay. I'm going to drive by your place, and we'll just take and load it all up, and I'll get rid of all of that stuff for you, okay?
I want to take you to Alaska with me, show you the real Alaska sometime.
Do you know where the real gold is hidden in Alaska?
If I'm lying, I'm dying. I do know where gold is, and I would have to die for it at the end of the season when everything is freezing up, because that would be the only time safe to dive in this remote area in Alaska where gold is. I'm looking for somebody to grub stake me.
What does that mean?
Like the old miners that go out to, you know, prospecting and work their claims, and they look for somebody to grub stake them, to back them up with money to do these things.
Wait, did you just say money?
Yeah, money.
Okay, I'm out of that deal. I'm so sorry.
Oh, goodness.
I think we're going to spend our money on apple cider vinegar and castor oil.
And I'm going to try that. I think that sounds good.
Well, it's easy to do, and you've got nothing to lose. But what I would say is really focus on eating things like, if I had to choose, I'd say bell peppers. Well, okay, I know this sounds weird, but just let me have at it. You get carotenoids when you eat mangoes, and so if you could find some mangoes that are like really bright orange, just real dark orange color,
mm-hmm.
you might try even just one day where you just fast on mangoes, and every time you think about eating something, you go, hey, Dr. Morgan said eat a mango.
Well, I believe in fasting. I've done 2 40-day fasts, and they were amazing with prayer, I can guarantee it.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you eat mangoes while you're on stage performing today, the harmonica is going to slip out of your hand so fast, okay. it's going to shoot across the parking lot. You'll never find it again.
I love to get kids, show them how to play harmonica. I walk through Walmart playing harmonica, and nobody's ever booed me yet.
They haven't?
Mm-mm. A lot of people come up, especially military, I'll play their song, you know, if we're in their ball caps.
Oh, yeah.
They'll come up and thank you very much for playing that Marine Corps hymn or that Army
oh, yeah.
song and stuff.
Isn't that great? Those guys are so and the women are so patriotic. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
What a good, I hope everything goes really well today.
Pray for me because there's some weird things that happens at Celtic Fest.
Oh, name one.
Well, they believe in all kind of weird things like druids and all those things, you know, stuff. And they talk about Ghostbusters and all these things. Well, I'm
you mean as if they really believe in that stuff?
Yeah, and I'm going to try to lift up the name of Jesus in my songs and put something.
There you go.
People would hear.
Give them something positive they can sink their teeth into.
I'm asking all the people listening to pray for me as I do that today.
You can do it, man. Do it boldly. I thought you were going to say they were going to talk about Loch Ness or Sasquatch.
Yeah, they have all kind of like, you know, crystals and stuff like that.
And so they might have a little bit of faith in the power of crystals, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I wish you the very best, and I'm sure you got a lot of people who are going to pray for you today.
I really appreciate you, Dr. Morgan. Thank
All right.
you so
much. Uh-huh. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good day. Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. All right. There was a study. And there were 45 individuals in the study, and they all had ischemic coronary heart disease. I don't know if you really know what that means, but let's say it this way. They are not getting enough oxygen blood flow to their heart. Does that make sense? Here, we got a phone call. That's always more important. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan. I was calling about, I got some shingles. A little over about 2.5 weeks ago. And
where's the location?
On my left side, of my face, so my forehead, and then back on my skull.
Is it close to your eye?
Yes.
Oh dear. Okay.
And my eye swelled shut for about 3 days.
Oh no! I'm so sorry. That was my biggest fear, that it would be close to your eye and affect that.
Well, I did go to an eye specialist, and he did say it did not penetrate my eye.
Oh, thank goodness.
I saw him twice.
What was his recommendations to help heal the shingles?
His and my other doctor were to take the viral medication. I think it's called, is it Valacyclovir or something like that?
Yeah, like Acyclovir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And then there's some topical cream, and then but I was just curious, you know, I'm having obviously some residual neuropathy.
No.
I still have a little bit of swelling in my eyelid and around my eye, and just wanted some ideas that you had about how to treat that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm glad you're calling to ask. Do you mind if I ask you just a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay. If you've been dealing with this for 2.5 weeks, have all the lesions completely gone away yet, or are they still Do any of them look fresh, like they're a little bit gooey?
No. Everything is pretty well scabbed over, so everything is pretty well gone as far as that goes.
But, is the skin clear?
Some of it looks good, but on one side of my face it looks kind of red and rashy a little bit, like I got a sunburn or something.
Mm-hmm. But there's obviously there's no sunburn.
No.
You didn't sunbathe all night long. Wait, that would be moonburn. No. Okay. So let me just, okay, the skin, just like the guy I talked to a while ago, your skin needs what's called vitamin A. Now, the reason that vitamin A is named vitamin A is not just because of the first one in the alphabet. It's because it's called the anti-infection vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And so for your immune system to respond properly to shingles, you got to have vitamin A. And so one of the issues you might be facing is you might not have enough vitamin A in reserve to actually respond to something of this level. So if you eat mangoes or you have beef liver, that's going to be the biggest sources of vitamin A I know of. Or if you wanted like turnip or collard greens, stuff like that, that's good too. But vitamin A is one of the most essential nutrients to healing the skin once there's been damage on any level. So like if you told me you were going to go out in the sun sunbathe today, well, the one way that I know that I can help prevent you from getting burned is to feed you mangoes.
Okay.
That sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Well,
like, darn, I've got to eat a delicious mango today. That's horrible. Well, would you prefer a mango taco or a liver taco? Tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing that you're looking at right there. And
okay.
What you want is you're trying to make it easy for your immune system to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm only telling you what I would consider, and I'm not really trying to make a joke out of it, but knowing me, I probably will. But if you were at the beach and a jellyfish wrapped his tentacles around your leg and it was stinging like hellfire, what would you do?
Well, I'd scream.
What would you do after you screamed and came to your senses? Like, what am I going to do to deal with this?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, what people typically do is they'll put some urine on it, and it takes all the sting and the burn out of it.
Okay.
Okay. And so if you were walking through the forest today, barefooted, not a good choice, but if you were, you might come across some bull nettle and say, well, what is this interesting plant with the sharp spines on it? I think I'm going to kick it 3 or 4 times to see what it feels like on my foot. Well, that'd be a real bad decision because bull nettle stings like hellfire, too. What would you do to take all the sting and the burn out of it and help it to heal?
I guess the same.
Yeah, the same. And so the worst cases of shingles that I've seen, I've heard rumor that's what people do to make it heal really, really fast.
Well,
it's just a rumor, though. I mean, how would I know? It's not like I ask questions all day long every day to figure things out. And so that's one of the things you're looking at. And so what I would suggest to you also is anytime that you have these inflamed areas of the skin where a virus has taken over, you need to feed nourishment to your immune system. And that's going to be stuff like vitamin B12. Vitamin A is a huge, huge, huge deal. Always think if you can increase blood flow to the skin, that is a home run. And okay. So what I mentioned earlier, I know that sounds gross, but you tell me, how long do you want to suffer with this? How much pain do you want to go through? And how desperately do you just want to go ahead and have it put behind you in a done deal? Well, that's what healing is. Your body wants closure.
Yep.
And so if it were me, I would probably take a little bit of Echinacea and Golden Seal just to see if that would help bolster my immune system. But my personal favorite is giving thymus extract.
Okay.
And so a lot of times if you go like to a health food store, it may say freeze-dried calf thymus gland. That's what you're looking at. Just remember, take a lot of it.
Okay.
And those are things that will get you moving in the right direction. Now, you got to remember, your immune system has got to be able to produce antibodies to tag the herpes zoster virus so it can recognize it and say, hey, come over here. Here it is. Let's kill it. Let's beat it up and chop it up and eat it. You got to have zinc to do that. And so if you consume a little bit of zinc with your food, I think that would be a very, very good choice. Sometimes I've seen good results by people taking bovine colostrum.
Okay.
So those are several ideas right there that could all do really well. You might want to get some extra virgin unfiltered olive oil. Mm-hmm. And that usually has a little bit richer base of nutrients in it and chlorophyll. And just lay all over that area if you can. But I want your skin to look beautiful again. You know how everybody tells you you have beautiful skin?
Oh, yeah, every day.
Well, they will be saying it's extra beautiful after you use the extra virgin olive oil on it.
Great.
And that'll be good. But these are all things, and obviously the number one predictor of a viral infection that just doesn't go away is going to be blood sugar and sugar. So if I can convince you not to have chocolate chip cookies and Coca-Cola and Mountain Dew and donuts, that would be a good choice today.
Yes.
Just eat meat and vegetables and fruit, and I think you'll do really, really well.
Okay.
All right.
That's been very helpful. Thank you so much.
You betcha. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay. You too.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Thank you for your call. Okay, here's a study right here. 45 people that had coronary myocardial ischemia, that means you're not getting enough blood and oxygen to the heart, and so the heart's complaining. They drank pomegranate juice for 3 months, and when they did a stress test, they had much better blood flow. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, quick
Hello.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Mangoes. What about the mangoes from the big box store that's frozen?
I don't have a problem with that. If that's the way that you can deliver them to your digestive tract, then that's the way we're going to go.
That sounds great.
I know what you're really asking. You're wanting permission to buy a plane ticket to Costa Rica where you can climb a tree and get your own. Is that what you're asking?
Well, that could be.
But if you get them frozen in the store, will that work? The answer is yes. We'll go with that.
Good. Well, that's what I needed.
All right. All right. Have a good day, buddy. Thanks for your phone call.
You too. Bye.
Actually, I know in my fantasy world, I'd be climbing up a 60-foot tree right now, free of beehives, of course, and I would be bringing the most exotic mangoes down to eat for my breakfast. That would be awesome. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Now, I do want you to consider this. It's just an idea. I think we're going to go through some very, very interesting times. It's already started. It has to do with the supply chain and having enough to go around, and I think we're going to find that a lot of the things that formerly we could find at the grocery store, we're just not going to be able to find anymore. And so if you go in the store and there's no fresh mangoes, well, if you can go get the frozen mangoes, that sounds like a good idea. One advantage of the frozen mangoes to me would be they have to wait until the mango is ripe on the vine. The mangoes that you buy at the store, they're not fresh. They were probably picked 3 or 4 weeks early. And so they weren't vine ripened. I think you get more nutritional density sometimes from the frozen. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi. I was wanting to talk about the liver a little bit more. My daughter had some lab tests, and it said that her alkaline phosphatase was 235 high.
Well, is she a little girl?
No, she's 38 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't trying to make a joke, but I would say those numbers might be normal if you were 3 years old.
Oh, okay. No, she's 38, and she's been diabetic since she was 10 years old.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now. Thank you.
Yeah, her ALT and AST are both high.
Well, and what that means is she's got a substantially fatty liver. It's probably 2 or 3 times bigger than it should be because it's kind of like clogged up with fat.
Right. So, I told her to start going on a, like maybe a liver cleanse or something like that. And omitting sugar entirely, omitting things like that.
Can we talk about the alkaline phosphatase enzyme that's elevated just for a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you one idea concerning that. When that's elevated, you're supposed to take a step back and say, okay, what's at play? What's not working right? What's going on here? What do I need to correct? There's always a possibility that number is elevated because she's in the middle of an autoimmune reaction. That means the body is attacking herself.
Right.
And so one of the things I'm going to suggest, it's almost on the same line with what you were just saying as far as a good suggestion, and I agree with you. But what if she's eating a food group that's just completely driving autoimmune reactions, whether that be dairy products or wheat or corn or something like that? But the other thing that I would look at is the potential for some type of a low-grade hidden infection somewhere. Now, obviously, the young girl is just exhausted, isn't she?
Oh, yes. She's terribly exhausted.
Well, and what we have to do is, so if all the liver enzymes are elevated, you're thinking, okay, what can we do that's really going to help the liver? One of the things that we have to do is we've got to start the process of repairing her blood flow and her circulation and her oxygen delivery. And I know I'm making it sound so simple, but it's simple in that it takes time and effort. Even that study that I read about pomegranate juice, the people that had poor blood flow to their heart, They put them on it for 3 months, and see, that's, to me, that makes sense. You don't just take a you just don't start a different diet or start walking expect to be healed in one nanosecond. It's going to be time and patience and consistency. So we need to come up with some type of a plan, and it may be things like what if we could get her to cut out all sugar and grains just out of necessity. I'm not trying to deprive the young lady of, you know, what she wants to eat, but I mean, something's going to have to give. If she keeps doing what she's currently doing, then what's she going to get? She's going to get elevated liver enzymes and all the problems that go along with it, like exhaustion. But we've got to make it easier on her body to heal and to repair. And so with the time that we have, I can't do much, but I can do a little bit. What if she started consuming 2 to 3 cups of green tea every day with just maybe a teaspoon of pomegranate powder in there? That would give her rich polyphenols. What if she started consuming an herb called milk thistle that's very protective of the liver and helps it to heal? What if she started walking 3 times a day for 20 minutes each time? I almost always think in situations like this, you got to do about 1.5 hours of exercise just to get enough blood flow to the liver to make a difference. I mean, 10 minutes on a treadmill, that's good. But that's just not going to get enough oxygen nutrition through your liver.
Okay.
And so her blood is the ocean of nutrients. It's carrying all this vital life force. We just got to get more oxygen and blood flow to the liver for it to heal. So if she's not in great shape, it may have to be like some stationary bicycle pedals that you can buy for $45 online, like on Amazon or Walmart.com or eBay.
Right.
You can tell I'm pretty low tech. I don't spend my time searching out the best deals on websites. That would be a woman's job, not mine. I could barely type in Amazon. So she's going to have to start doing something. And unfortunately, we're just all out of time. I mean, I really, really want to help you. Could you call back next week and we can try to pick the conversation back up?
Sure thing. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thanks so much for your phone call, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Yes, bye-bye. Ma'am. Bye-bye.